Good morning.
Good morning.
We were unsure of what the turnout would be for the first annual one-hour sermon special. No, I'm just kidding. Don't worry. Don't start texting and canceling plans. There are so many different things that we find ourselves placing our trust in. And so many of these things end up leaving us empty, leaving us hopeless, though we put all of our trust and our hope in these things. This morning I want to talk about what it means for us when we put our trust in physical things versus spiritual things, and how that could leave us hanging by a thread. So many things in this world entice us. There are so many promises that this world has where we can find our peace, find our happiness, or our joy. I want to talk about what we could trust in and what we should trust in. One of the things is health. When we're young and healthy, we don't think about being finite. We don't think about being in a decaying world. We may put our trust in our health. And it isn't just for the young. It could be for the older generation. If you're in good health, there's something about it. We feel like we're in control, or that things are going well, or good health is synonymous with strong spirituality. We may see someone in very good health and assume that everything is going great, and vice versa. We may see someone with little health and be unsure of how they're doing spiritually. I want to tell you a story about a woman that was pregnant with her second child, and by all expectations and all accounts, up through the first couple of trimesters, things were fine, things were going well. And then shortly into the third trimester, something didn't quite go well. The baby did not want to stay any longer. It was time to get out, and it was a little bit early. And it ended up being about 2 months premature. That baby came out and was having trouble breathing. The lungs, being underdeveloped, were not working as they should. And so the life of that baby hung in the balance. And that baby was me. Now, the doctors still don't know what's wrong with me, but my lungs are working fine now. But at the time, that's supposed to be joyous, that it is supposed to provide happiness and comfort, new life, there was a moment of panic, of concern, and of loss of control. We can't control as much as we think we can control. So my parents, who I'm going to call them out, are here today, this morning, sitting in the front row over here. But I was pleasantly surprised. I wasn't aware of that. But they were in a position where they couldn't trust in the physical. They couldn't trust in the health. We had come a long way and have come far since then in the medical field, but they weren't in control. But they knew there was a God they could pray to, even in a situation where they were hanging by a thread, maybe emotionally, and I was hanging by a thread physically. Not that it happened in this case, but how often do we find ourselves in a position of praying to the one God who has the power and the control over those things as a last resort? We try those physical things and we do those things as much as we can do, and then as a last resort, we go to the Almighty God, the Creator. We read in Mark chapter 5 about a woman with a bleeding problem. In verses 25 and 26, it says, there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years and who had suffered much under many physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. Now, I, for one, can definitely relate to this type of situation where something goes wrong, be it physical or whatever, and everything in my power I'm going to do in trying and achieve before turning to God. It's instinctive that we are in control and that we can change some of those things, and so we exhaust all of our power before turning to God. And isn't it interesting when we stop to ponder how much power we really have to fix things instead of going to the one who does have the power and we can pray to for peace and our happiness regardless of our physical state. So in verses 27 to 28, she had heard the reports about Jesus, and she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if I touch even his garments, I will be made well. In our time, we have Christ, we have Jesus that we can turn to, and we have physical things that we can turn to. And how often do we find ourselves in the same position where we exhaust all of our resources? And then, oh, but if we would have the faith to turn to Christ, who can keep us well, make us well spiritually, regardless of our physical state. We will not be taking our health with us when we pass from this life. If we did, we'd never pass from this life. I think about Job's response also when his health was taken away. Job was tested, went through trials that God had allowed, and Satan had inflicted Job. And his wife said, got to the point where she said, why don't you curse God and die? And Job's response earlier was, the Lord giveth and the Lord take away. And then here, his response is, should we just accept the good and not the adversity? Can we trust in God only when things are good? Or are we supposed to trust in God at all times, even when the world tells us to curse him? Because God is worthy of our praise in the good times and the bad times, because he is constant, where the physical is not. The typical response when we're sick is to just get better. That's our sole focus. When we just put all of our focus on our health, to bring us that joy and that peace and that happiness, we're not thinking about spiritual things. We get caught up on this. This has got to be taken care of first. And sometimes we can't get past our own desires to pray to God to give us what we actually need. Maybe at that moment in time, we need to be stronger spiritually. Maybe we need to, as a few months back, we talked about working out that trust muscle. Maybe it's more important that we're strong spiritually, and we just don't understand it. In 2 Corinthians in chapter 4, starting in verse 16, so we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. If you're struggling with your health, or maybe you've got a family member who's struggling with their health, and it gets you to the point where you are down, things seem bleak and seem hopeless physically, we have assurance in Christ that the best is yet to come. But even on the other side of that, if you're in perfect health and you're fine and you're not struggling and you don't have somebody that you're affected, you can still rest assured that no matter how good it may seem here on earth, the best is yet to come. Something else we oftentimes might put our trust in is our finances or our money, our possessions. We think if I get this set, we'll be good to go. And I know you've seen, just like I have, all of the many different quick rise to fame or rise to riches stories or the lottery where people will go and win these large sums of money and they end up bankrupt and destitute because they thought that it would be money or finances or physical prosperity that would bring them peace, or that they would be filled where they had this empty hole. But they don't bring peace. They don't bring the kind of peace that God promises, the kind of peace that we don't understand. Proverbs teaches us about the frailty of money and of possessions. Do not wear yourself out to get rich. Do not trust your own cleverness. Cast but a glance at riches and they are gone, for they will surely sprout wings and fly off to the sky like an eagle. I remember a time I was in a youth group that I was growing up in, and the youth leader at the time was consoling this girl who was upset, and she usually came on Wednesday nights, and it seemed like she was upset a lot, this time more than most. And so once he was finished talking and she left, she was picked up by her grandmother, I asked him, I said, what's wrong with her? She was very, very distraught that day. And he said that, well, she lived with her grandparents, and her grandmother was on disability. So they already had a fairly low income, and her parents were out of the picture. And I believe she had one other sibling. And this grandmother thought that if she could win the scratcher, win the lottery, win big at the casino, one day she might have riches and she could provide and she could give her grandkids all the things that she needed. And so she was so focused on that, that bills were unpaid, that utilities were being shut off. So that particular day, she was trying to get ready that morning and the electric had gotten shut off. And she couldn't go to school dressed the certain way, couldn't, you know, get ready as she would on a typical school morning, because the grandmother was so focused on this elusive peace or happiness that money could bring in the future, she wasn't living in the now. She wasn't caring for those around them because her focus was on physical prosperity to bring her a type of happiness and joy that we can only get spiritually. We're all very familiar, I think, with the story of the widow and her two copper coins that she puts in the treasury. In Mark chapter 12, starting in verse 41, it says, "And he sat down, he being Jesus, opposite the treasury, and watched the people putting money into the offering box. Many rich people put large sums, and a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which make a penny. And he called his disciples to him, and he said to them, 'Truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty has put in everything she had, all that she had to live on.'" So she didn't have wealth, and by the standards of the time, she was considered poor. Even Jesus himself calls her, identifies her as the poor widow. But she put all of her trust in God instead of in what she had. Though she had little, it was all that she had and all that she owned. But she was at a point where she gave everything to God because she knew that everything was his anyway. God is more concerned with the spirit of the giver than the size of the gift. So that doesn't mean, Jesus isn't saying everyone else needs to come in and just give two copper coins. That's not the point here. The point is what she held, or what the world called valuable, she knew that God was more important. That her trust couldn't be in whatever she had, and the trust couldn't be in the riches that the others gave. Her trust was in God. Am I the only one that early on in life that used this story as like almost like a get out of jail free card? I saw this and she put in two copper coins. I can blow that out of the water and still do all the things that I really want to do, right? And this will still be good enough for God. My typical process as a teenager when thinking about what would I give over to God was sitting in a pew like this. And the trays were about to be passed over, and I thought, okay, immediately go through the Rolodex of my plans, what I had upcoming before I got paid again, what kind of parties or events or sporting events, whatever, what have you, would I miss if I gave over X amount? And so my excuses were premeditated, but the thought about what I would give back to God was not. Those are the things at that point in time were more important for me than thinking about what I could give back to Him. Our priorities are always at war with the flesh, regardless whether it's money or whether it's where we spend our time. We want to do what we want to do, but we should be working and actively striving, because the good thing is at least you're having that war with that flesh. You're having that, should I give more? Should I do something else? The bad way would be get in a position where it doesn't even cross your mind. But if we treat God's, the things that we have as God's anyways, and we take up the position as managers of what is His, it's easier to let go than if we look at it as being creators of our own riches. But the great thing about it is whether we're able to give a lot or whether we're able to give a little, the great thing is that we all have the opportunity to give with the same spirit, to give with the same cheerfulness, and to show and indicate to God where our treasures are being laid up, whether we are solely focused on the physical or whether we are trusting in God with what we have. So we've talked about the widow who had little. I have a friend who was, by all standard accounts, you would consider well off, had a good relationship with his wife and had kids, had multiple vehicles, had a college education, very nice job. And it wasn't so much that he put all of his focus on that, and that's where his hope and trust was, but everything seemed like it was going fine. And in a day's time, and with the weeks and months soon to follow, he had lost his relationship. He had been served divorce papers. He lost custody of his kids. He had lost money. He now had debt that he was responsible for, and was to the point where he couldn't even afford to be heated in the winter where he was staying. And he came to a point that was very dark. But just a short amount of time before that, everything was going fine. And what that shows us is that even though he came out of that, even though he was that God was with him, and he ended up trusting in God, and God brought him through that, it shows us how fragile things like health and finances and possessions, those things are hanging by threads. And so if we hold on to those threads with all that we have and trust in that, those threads will break. Sometimes it's just life circumstances that get you down. I don't have the job that I always wanted. I don't really have the relationship I wanted. I'm not in the house that I really wanted. Things just aren't going right for me. I figured I would be farther along. I never got that college education, whatever it is. It could be work problems. It could be, you know, my boss, I just can't stand. You know, I have to have the job, so I can't leave. Relationship problems. It could be with your spouse. But if we put all of our eggs in the basket of other people and other physical things and life circumstances, if that's where we put our hope and our trust, and we expect those things to be the originator of our peace and our happiness and where we find our comfort, we will be let down every time. We are humans. We are flawed. We live in a flawed world. When we're born, we immediately start decaying. We have scientific proof now in this 21st century, everyone dies. Spoiler alert. This physical world is not going to last forever, and for each of us, it's not going to last. But what can last is the spirit into eternity if we know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We learn from Paul about circumstances. If you want to know who had a rough go, get into Corinthians. His trials and his circumstances are enough to bring anyone to their breaking point if that's all you rely on is the physical. Five times received 40 stripes minus one, three times beaten with rods, stoned once, shipwrecked three times, spent a night and a day in the deep, always journeying, perils of robbers, perils of water, perils of his own countrymen, perils of the Gentiles in cities, in the wilderness, in the sea, perils of false brothers, perils in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness, in hunger, in thirst, in fastings, in cold, in nakedness. Besides these other things, what comes upon me daily is my deep concern for the church. One of the things that I've oftentimes overlooked up until recently is the talk about shipwreck three times. And in case you're like me and things are slow, in order to be shipwrecked three times, you have to get back in the boat after the first time. And I don't know about you, but I've seen a lot of people going on these Carnival cruises, and I think, man, that'd be really cool and it'd be really neat. But there was times when one of those suckers crashed into somebody else. Like, you don't see, you know, this big, giant, I don't know how that happened, but if I was on one that crashed, or if I was on one that got this new virus and I got quarantined, it would take a lot to ever convince me to get back on a boat. But we look at where Paul was spiritually, that he was shipwrecked three times. That means after the first time he had the faith to get back in the boat, because his mission was spiritual. His mission was to spread the gospel. His mission wasn't to keep Paul alive. He came to terms with the fact that his mission was to keep the gospel of Christ alive. Sometimes we are not tested because, or we are not tested because God doesn't know how strong we are. Oftentimes we are tested because we don't know how strong we can be when we rely on him. When we're tested, it's not because God's in the dark. It's not because God doesn't know about the trials that we face. But when we rely on just ourselves and just our life circumstances, our health, whatever it is, when we rely on anything other than God, we will be let down. We can't be if only Christians. I was talking to another friend this week, and incidentally, it was the same friend who had all the troubles financially. But we talked about being if only Christians. If only I get that job. If only I get that salary increase, that house, that car, that promotion, that fill in the blank. If only I get that, then I can start living for God. But God calls us to live for him right where we're at. Just to remind us again, our verse today was Romans chapter 8, 16 through 18. It says, "The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us." Our present sufferings, whatever they are, will not be comparable to what we will have and what we're promised in the future. My grandmother on my paternal side came down, as many here have, and family members who either have or have had in the past, but she came down with Alzheimer's. And I was young. We moved in to take care of her. My parents did. I moved in with her, took care of her at the end of her life here, and it was a slow decay, as most know with disease, over time, where you lose that person. You lose that physical person in their memories, and they lose their memory of you. So at the end of my grandmother's life, which is now pushing on 15 years, her health was failing. One of the things that we oftentimes put our trust in, Her health was failing. She didn't even know about finances, so to her, finances had failed her. Not that she put her trust in that, but that was something that could not save her. Her health could not save her. Her finances could not save her. She didn't even know who we were, and even immediate family, she didn't know who they were. And it was a kind of a bittersweet thing. We knew that the end was coming. And I was given the opportunity to go or to stay, and I chose not to be there. But while they were there, I recall a story of what they had done. They gathered around her, and the doctors knew that it was time, and they were praying with her, and they were singing hymns. At the end of her life, she couldn't even tell you what her name was and oftentimes wouldn't respond. But as they were singing the hymns and praying, the only thing that she could say and the only name that she could say was Jesus. Jesus. Though our physical might be weak to the point where at the end of the life, she couldn't remember anything. The physical had failed, but the spirit still longed for a Savior. Spiritually, we can be strong when physically we are hanging by a thread. And if we hang our own happiness and our trust and our faith and our hope in the physical, they will not last. But to be at the point where we can trust in the spiritual, that when the physical fails us, we know there is a God, we know there is a Savior who can help us. This morning you may be in the same position as some of these stories that I've read or told about. You may have health problems or a family member that has health problems. Financially, you may be struggling. Life circumstances may have you down, may have you in a position where you feel like you're hanging by a thread. But the good news is that we have a Savior, Jesus, and a God who we can trust in through those difficult times. So if there's anything that we can do for you, if we can pray for you, if you need to put Christ on this morning and you realize the physical is not where you need to put your trust in, please come now as we stand and sing.
Encamped along the hills, the mighty Christian soldiers rise and press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing skies. Against the foe it bends below, let all our strength be hurled. Faith is the victory we know that overcomes the world. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. On every hand the foe we find drawn up in dread array. Let tens of these be left behind.